All aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany.
I think that's a. I think it's a really important for branding. So
okay, I'm recording this, so you know.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me.
A couple of, I don't know, it was maybe a year ago, I learned what color analysis is, which is basically where you figure out what season you are with your colors based off of your eye color, your skin color, your hair color. And there are professional people that actually, you can go to them, they put a bunch of colors in front of you, and then they tell you which season you are. And there's 12 different seasons. There's 3 in spring, 3 in summer, 3 in autumn, and 3 in winter. And usually if you're blonde like I am, you're either a summer or a spring.
Okay.
And so because I have dark brown eyes, that's a warm tone. So I found out I have a warm undertone, which means I am a warm spring. So that's what my palette is.
Ooh.
I now have an app on my phone that when I go shopping now, I hold it up and I know which shades to buy that fit my color palette. So now I have completely changed my entire wardrobe. I have bought new nail polish, you know, like everything in my wardrobe has changed. My lipstick colors, my nail polish colors, everything has changed.
Oh,
and
my
so
gosh.
It has been life changing, and I recommend everyone do it.
Whoa. How do you, where do you do this?
I have a friend named Brenda. She is like a fashion stylist and she does it locally. You go to, she's in Loring Park. And it's like a one-time fee if you want to check it out. But she's actually a client of mine now, too. So I'm going to help her make more content because we made a video about it and it did really well. And I put it on my YouTube channel as well. So I filmed the whole experience.
Cool.
And it was really cool. I also found out I should be wearing gold instead of silver jewelry, again, because I'm a warm undertone.
Ooh.
Like, and so I can't wear like cool colors. So like black is a color I'm not supposed to wear anymore, but I have so much black that as long as you mix it in, it's okay. But you shouldn't just like wear all black for me. So I've learned a lot. I changed my eyeliner instead of being black. It's now dark brown.
Oh.
So like all of these things have changed in my life.
Do you feel like, how do you feel looking at yourself?
Oh, I feel so much more confident because I'm like, I never knew what I should dress like.
Yeah.
You know, it was just you have all the colors of the rainbow and you could just pick something. And I never knew that, like, my mom, she's like, Jenna, I didn't want to tell you this, but black does drown you out. I just didn't want to say it out loud. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me?
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Who does black not drown?
Well, I mean, like, if you're a winter, black looks good on you.
Okay.
So it's like, it depends on your colors. Mm. And it's also depending on the contrast of, like, your eyes and your... So if you have, like, blue eyes and dark black hair, like Katy Perry, she looks great in black.
Oh.
And, like, Zooey Deschanel just did it, and she's a winter as well. So there's certain people that
aren't
black
they
look...
the same person?
They're I know. Like that's what I'm saying. But because they look so similar, they have very similar... But it's just... So for me now I think about it as I'm shopping a lot more.
Oh.
And I have, because right now it is spring, there's a lot of spring clothes for sale. So I've been kind of in a shopping mood because I'm like, when winter comes, I'm not going to have many of the colors in my palette like for sale. So right now I'm buying a bunch of clothes for the rest of the year because they're selling a bunch of spring colors right now.
Heck yeah. It's your season.
It is. So I'm like, I'm spending way more money right now on clothing, but I'm like, that's going to end come summer because then I'll have everything that I need.
So I color my hair a lot.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. They'll look at your roots and they'll look at your eyebrows. Like there's like, because I also dye my hair a little bit, but like the color... It's like your colors and your undertone doesn't change.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And the eye colors is a really big thing too. So she was like, look, because I have dark brown eyes. And she was like, she was like telling me all these things. And she's like, but it's kind of like also based on the color that you usually wear too.
Okay.
So I'm not like, it's kind of a science, but it's more of just like the person has been trained in it. So they kind of just, they do it so much that they can see. And I can't. So that's why I go to an expert.
Because I think of, like, I used to have, like, really bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
And I could wear, my wardrobe was, you know, a lot of things that I had. And then I go to redhead.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this looks terrible on me.
Well, it is about, like, how it looks as a whole.
Sure.
And I do think that when you go to that, she'll tell you which hair color looks best on you. That's the other thing. So, for example, I got really, really light blonde. And it was almost a cool blonde. And I think it washed me out. So the next time I go get like highlights, I'm going to tell them I'm a warm. So make sure my highlights are warm instead of cool toned.
Okay.
So that was a really helpful thing for me as a blonde. Like if I do get my hair done, I'm like, make sure the undertone is warm.
Oh, so that's stuff so like that. Cool. Yeah.
So I think you would benefit from it.
I know I would. I would love it.
Yeah. So sorry we kind of just started with that, but I just thought
let's
yeah.
jump in and just start. Yeah, yeah. I like that. The good energy.
Mm-hmm.
I know we'll be talking for a while on here. So let me introduce you. Yeah. So, or you can introduce you however you'd like.
Yeah, it's changed, so.
And you have so many hats. Which one are you wearing today?
Well, so I guess I'll introduce my name. I'm Jenna Redfield, and I consider myself a multi-passionate entrepreneur who helps small businesses with visibility and organization. Those are like the two things I focus on. So with visibility, I'm helping local small businesses create like social media content and just like kind of becoming confident in making video. And then the other half of my business is I help mostly ADHD entrepreneurs with organizing their lives. So that's kind of my two audiences. And over time, that's evolved, and lately I've been kind of going more the online route than the in-person route. I'm kind of removing some of the events from my life. I'm going to events still, but I'm not hosting. Sure. So I'm kind of moving more towards the online audience, which has been growing with my YouTube channel and that sort of thing.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot to talk about in that. And so originally I met you because of Twin Cities Collective.
Mm-hmm. We met at Break the Bubble.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep,
and then you came to my event like that week, I think.
Which was so fun.
On the rooftop.
Yeah, that was a fun event.
That was really fun.
And so you're no longer doing those events.
No. What I realized is I have been hosting events since I was 25 and I'm 32 now. And I'm like, at that point, I didn't have a community. I was building it for myself. And now I feel like I do. So my need isn't as strong to host networking events. I felt like I was doing it for other people and it wasn't benefiting me anymore.
Okay.
And so it was kind of like a people pleaser of like, I've been doing this for so long. I still got to put it on. But then I got burnt out doing it because I don't love event planning or logistics or any of that stuff. Venue selection, like getting people to show up. Like I know you deal with that too. It's just for me, I would rather spend my time helping people and I could do that better in other ways. So it's like, so I just announced, so my last event is tomorrow. As we were recording this, I'm doing an Instagram workshop.
Heart.
I know. But I was so excited when I announced it. Like it felt like I was in alignment. Like I was like, this was the right decision. I very strongly believed. I was like, I was scared to do it because that was what my business was. I've been growing it for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm also not afraid to take the leap and pivot and also change if it's not serving me anymore. It served me for so long. And I think I got a lot out of it, but I'm like, I just don't need to continue that path. I'm going to move a different path.
Yeah.
And I think I feel happier and more relief than anything.
Yeah. No, totally. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, and that's what you have to do is follow what your gut tells you. And then new doors are going to
open.
So
I posted that and I've had so many people reach out being like, come speak at our events. Like, because it's like, I want to do more speaking where it's not my audience. It's somebody else's audience. And I'm actually going to be speaking at a conference this fall. And I just met the woman this week. And so just like all these like things are popping up. So it's like, okay, like this was like the right thing by announcing it too. Because I could have just slowly just like stopped posting events and not mentioned it. But I'm like, no, I'm making a big deal out of it. It's like, hey guys, like we're not doing events anymore. This is what we're doing now instead. So it kind of gets people's attention to like, because if somebody a year from now is like, hey, how was your events going? I could be like, no, we like ended those, you know.
Right. Yeah, you know. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's totally. Mm-hmm. And then they can kind of keep up with what you're doing and start to do some online stuff.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I want to convert some of my local audience to some of the stuff I'm doing online. Because like, for example, I mostly work with ADHD entrepreneurs, but now it's like any entrepreneur can use digital organization or tools that help with productivity, which is what I teach. So I think figuring out, okay, how do I like merge these audience kind of together?
Yeah.
Because a lot of them overlap. And I'm like trying to make them overlap even more so it's like one audience.
Ooh.
It's hard. It's hard when it's been so, like I have two email lists. I've got my local people where I do local stuff and then I've got my online audience. So it's
gosh.
And they're all in the same like system. They just have different tags. And so I'll send a list to just those people that are tagged one way. Yeah, it's like a lot of like split brain, like split audience, which has been hard.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. It's like events was like another thing I was doing. And it just felt like I was doing too many things.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to narrow that down.
I feel that.
Yeah.
That's well. That good for you. More time to spend on things.
Yes. And it's like I would rather spend my time on the things I feel like I'm good at than the things that I feel like this isn't my passion or my expertise, which is event planning. It's never been something I've been good at. I just did it because no one else was doing it. So I'm like, I'll just host it. And then I got used to it, you know.
And your events were great. Yeah. I found you originally online from seeing people doing videos saying, where am I going today? I'm going to Twin Cities Collective.
Yeah.
So.
And that was a fun series I did last year kind of randomly. And I met so many great people through that. And I want to do more videos where I highlight local businesses. Because it's like, to me, that was the goal, was to be a place where people found out about things that happening locally.
Yeah.
And I still want to continue that. So the things I'm going to be continuing is telling people about other events that are happening, like your guys' events or like other people that are hosting events. It's like, they don't care who hosts the events. They just want to go to the events. So I'm like, if I could highlight, hey guys, there's an event coming up for this, go to that.
Yeah.
And then be that like voice is kind of what I'm hoping I'll be moving forward, is more the resource, not the provider.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So tell me your background, because you, you kind of, I want to know everything, because you jumped into this and you you're really good at what you do.
Well, thank you.
Have you always been a public speaker?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually in high school, so when I was little, I wanted to be an actress singer.
Okay.
Like I wanted to be Hannah Montana. Like I wanted to be on stage my whole life. Yeah. I love singing. I was in choir all throughout high school. And then when I was in high school, I wanted to do theater, but my high school is very competitive and so and really big. So I didn't get a chance until like even senior year. So I ended up doing figure skating. That was like my sport in high school.
Oh, cool.
I did synchronized figure skating, which was a whole thing. But
oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I did that. That's but insane. Then
like that stuff that they do, figure skating.
Yeah. Oof. It's hard, but I also started really late. I started in sixth grade when you're supposed to start, like, 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you're supposed to be, like, it's kind of like dance. Yeah. Like, if you start dance, you should start young. One of my best friends growing up, she did both. She did skating and dance. And then by the time she was in middle school, she had to pick. She couldn't do both. Oh, so she picked dance. And then I started skating. So we barely overlapped. But so I wanted to do theater. And then I realized, I'm like, well, I'm not going to be like a famous actress. Like, I'm not that good. So I'm like, what else can I do on stage?
I don't know. You could be, right?
I mean, it's a little late now, but I mean, you never know. But I really like just being on stage. So then in high school, I had a friend invite me to something called Toastmasters, which is like a public speaking group at my high school. So that was the first time where I really had ever done public speaking. And then I started doing that a little bit in college. And then after college, I got a job. I'm at this place where I hosted kind of like workshops.
Yeah.
And so I just realized, oh, I really like teaching. I really like doing workshops and talking, and I have no stage fright at all.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Oh my gosh, like, I want that.
People always ask how I did that, and I'm like, I just was born with it. I don't know. I just never had any fear of that because I liked it so much, I think.
Yeah.
And so when people are like, what's tips? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I never struggled with it.
Yeah.
So when people ask me like, how do you get like the courage? I'm like, I never had any fear.
Yeah.
But I have other fears in other parts of my life.
Yeah.
But it's just when it comes to being on stage, I just have always loved it. So then, I went to film school. So when I was in college, I was like, I learned at about 15 that I really wanted to make YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So that was my like, other half was I wanted to make videos, so I went to film school, and I graduated with a degree in media production, and I thought I was going to work in Hollywood. I moved to LA, and I realized I was like, I don't want to work in Hollywood. I just want to make YouTube videos, so I was like, I can do that at home. Then I graduated college and started my first business filming weddings.
Oh, cool.
So I did wedding videography, but I didn't like that because I realized I'm like, eh, weddings isn't for me, but I like the idea of starting my own business. So that's kind of started my entrepreneur journey. But then I've always had that thread of video the entire time of always, because I'm like, I knew how to make videos. And now in our world, that is a huge skill that is needed, you know?
Yeah, videos is, yeah.
Yeah, so that I just kept that going. And as the world shifted from, you know, it's YouTube and now it's like short content. Like there's a lot of things I've just kind of followed the waves of whatever people were wanting to watch. And now it's like less produced, the better. Like you don't need like fancy cameras and stuff. Like people just want to see real. They want to see it filmed on their phones. That's why TikTok has blown up. It's just anyone can become an overnight person just because of like, I don't know if you followed the whole Risa Tisa thing with, okay, there's this woman who like had a 50-part TikTok series where she talked about her crazy ex-husband. Wow. And it like went viral, and every video was 10 minutes long. So that's 500 minutes of content. It was like longer than like Lord of the Rings. People would sit there and watch it all weekend. Wow. Yeah, this happened like 2 months ago, but like it just, she was sitting in her car filming herself. So
gosh, I'm so out of the loop. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and it was just like the story was so engaging and crazy that it's like they're going to make like movies off of this.
By the way, I like some people like since I've met you, mm-hmm. Like I just watch your videos to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
In the Minneapolis world, because I'm like, yeah, oh, Jenna will know.
Well, and that's the thing is like I was just realizing this week, I'm like, I love people so much.
Yeah.
I love connecting. I love conversations. I love going to coffee with people and talking about stuff. Yeah. And I think like I want to do more of that, but it's like, how do I make that part of my job?
Yeah,
you know, like I've had a podcast since 2017. Mm-hmm. So I've interviewed over 200 people.
Yeah,
so that was helpful for just practicing conversations.
Yep.
But now it just feels like I just like to talk and listen and learn more about other people.
That's so cool.
It's been really fun.
And so now with what you do you work with like business, small mm-hmm. businesses one-on-one and kind of listen to them and try to figure out what you can do?
What I'm doing right now is I'm helping, I have like 8 clients right now where I'm doing content for them. So whether I'm filming like clips, like short videos for their social, helping them either schedule the social content, writing the caption. So a little bit of social media management in that sense. But more of just video.
Okay.
Like, I don't need to make graphics and do the traditional social media stuff.
Yeah.
Beyond that. Like, I'm very niched. So it's like, you hire me for a video. And I like having local clients because then I can go film with them.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they're doing. So, for example, one of my main clients who I've had for years, she's a life coach. So she's got, like, a local mastermind. I help her with that. And so I, like, just, I think next week we're going to go and film content. And then I film like 30 videos in like a couple hours, and then I go and edit it, schedule it out for a few months. It's like evergreen content. So I do that with like multiple people.
Oh, cool.
And so then that's like one part of my business. So it's just like that's, and then even just tracking that and keeping track of that is a lot because there's so many different people. And then like one of my clients right now, I am helping her with her website, which I don't usually do that as much, but like I know it really well, the software that she uses that I got her onto. So there's just a lot of different people that use me for different things.
Yeah.
Kind of like a, just like whatever you need help with.
That's cool. That is really cool. Yeah. And you're a good resource because you keep up with what's necessary. And
yeah,
that's
awesome. I think I know a lot about the things I know about, if that makes sense. Like the things, like the thing, like I can go very deep on certain things. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I know a lot about a lot of things. Like, I'm really good at trivia. It's, like, one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Okay.
I love going to trivia nights. Like, that's one of my favorite things.
Where is your favorite trivia night?
So, I'm going to do a shout-out to one of my favorite places in the world, and you would love it. It's the Smile Tea Bar in Hopkins. It is...
I've been there.
Yeah. It's, like, someone's basement.
Yeah.
They do trivia now on Wednesdays. Oh. And my friend Brandon... he is now their karaoke guy. So once a month they do karaoke. He is the one manning it. And he just did did trivia for the first. So they just have random people do trivia. Like people can come in and bring their own questions. So he did his for the first time. And so we went to support him. Oh, and it was very hard. Brandon, you need to do easier questions next time.
Oh my gosh, hard for you.
Yeah, like I'm friends with him. He's like an engineer. So it's just like, But it was just like, he came up with all these like world history questions and like everyone struggled. But it was fun because it was just like, it was a challenge versus like Trivia Mafia, which can be kind of easier in some ways. But I do like Trivia Mafia too. Like that's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, because they do a lot of like kind of theme stuff and kind of things that are going on.
Yeah,
and
like I become like a regular there because I live pretty close to Hopkins and like my friends are there all the time.
Fun.
And so like it's just become like our hangout place. So I've gotten to know like other people that are regulars there. But like they don't do a lot of like social promo because it is a small space. They don't want it like... They don't need thousands of people going there.
It's
like,
their speakeasy.
It kind of is. Yeah. But it's just, it's like you would never know it's there unless you know it's there.
Mm-hmm. They do have music, though, that like if you can hear it on the street, like you're if you're walking by, you're kind of
like, what is that?
What is this?
Yeah.
I was there once in some very intoxicated middle-aged women who are out partying, night off from the kids or something. And they showed up downstairs and they had like, They had no idea. I don't even think they paid for their drinks.
Oh, really?
Like when they want. I was like, wow. Because
there's no alcohol there. It's just tea. It's tea. Called Kratom tea, which is like a kind of like a CBD tea.
Yeah.
But it's like, and it's only open at night. So it's like, it feels like a nightclub or like a bar, but it's not.
Yeah. When they were out there, I think they were like, what is Kratom? And I was like, oh, that thing that you were drinking?
Mm.
And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, you're drinking Kratom. And
yeah.
They were like, what is it? I was like, yeah, it's kind of like acid. You're going to trip out a little bit. Just messing with them, but no.
Yeah. It kind of gives you like a feeling of like lightness, like elevated, like happiness. So it's like from Southeast Asia. It's like a plant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, and then there's different variations too. Some get you a little hyper, some calm.
Yeah, they'll tell you which ones. But yeah, I know the owners now. Like, it's just, I feel like
of
I'm like.
Of course you do.
It's just like I'm there. So it's just like, so my friend, he hosts every year like a murder mystery party at Halloween. So like.
Oh my gosh.
They came, like the people that run the Smile Tea Bar came. Fun. So it's just like, I've had the same friend group since I was 25.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that.
And like. Which that's actually one of the reasons I started Twin Cities Collective was I was very lonely.
Oh.
Like I didn't have a friend group throughout most of high school and college.
So yeah, I love that. If you want something, create it, you know?
Yeah,
I want
some
friends.
That's
I'm
what happened.
Like
I learned I like networking events because I'm like, I can meet people.
Yeah.
Because I've never had a traditional job. Like I've never worked in corporate America. I've never like I've worked for small businesses where I'm like the only employee.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like I've always been kind of on my own island. And so in order for me to make community, I had to like go out and like go to networking events.
Cool.
And then when you find a friend group when you're 25, like I was going out all the time, like every night just trying to like meet people. And that's why I know so many people is because I spent so many years doing that and I realized I loved it. And then I found the people that I liked, you know, and then I've like introduced them to each other. So it's just like, I feel like I've kind of just slowly been like collecting people along the way, you know, like that's just, but I think for me, like, I think that this like COVID didn't help, you know, especially if you're coming out of college. And so it's just like, I have a heart for people because I was in that place once where I was like, I was very lonely and I feel like, I don't feel that way anymore, but it's just like, I think I have lived through it and I've gotten through it. And I think like giving hope to people that it's like, you do have to put some effort in. Like it's not going to come to you. People aren't going to show up at your door.
Yeah. And that's for everything, you know, in life. But also with people are so lonely, but you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, they complain. So what I've learned, and again, this is just generally and not like anyone specifically, but like people are like, I'm so lonely. And I'm like, okay, but what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't push. I can like, what's that quote? Like you can lead a horse to water or whatever. It's like, but you can't get them to drink it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think what happened with me is I provided the drink, but people like wouldn't like come. So I'm like, well, why am I providing the drink anymore?
Right,
so
exactly.
That's something I realized is I was like, I felt kind of upset that people weren't like using the resources I was giving.
Yeah.
It felt like I was just wasting my time trying to help someone that didn't want it, even though they said they wanted it. That has been a struggle of mine.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. They flake out or they say they're going to come or it's just like, okay, there's a reason you probably are struggling is because you don't follow through on what you say.
Right.
So I like when people, that's why I love making friends with other event hosts because they get that. They're like, they know what it's like. So like if I ever RSVP to an event, I show up because I'm like, I know what it's like to have someone RSVP to my event and not show up.
Yep.
And so I think that's, I'm very particular about what I say yes to because it's like if it's a maybe, I say no.
Oh,
because it's like if I know I can go, I'll say yes. If I don't know, I'll say no. Because I don't want to give them a false hope that I'm going to show up.
I know. I always have people say, I'm going to try to make it. And I'm like, hey, look, just tell me you're not going to make it. And when you do show up, it'll be a good surprise.
Yeah. I don't like being that person though, like on that other end. Like I don't like being the one that like people are like, oh, are you going to come? Like I don't, because then I don't, it makes me feel like I'm a flaky person and I don't like feel that way. I already have ADHD. I'm like, I need to like have some, that's the one thing in my life that I feel like I have a control of is showing up.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I know. I'm very weird about like time and punctual and like.
That was drilled into me by my dad.
Yeah.
Like you are on, if you're on time, you're late.
Yep.
It's like be early is on time or something.
That's how I am too. I know. I think I got it from my parents as well.
Yeah.
Because they're worse than me. I'm like, you guys were a half hour early to my niece's show. And they're like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's where I get it from.
Yep. same thing. And I think, so that was drilled into me. And so I hate being late. Like that is one of my biggest pet peeves. I don't like.
I get anxiety.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And I just, but then, the roommate I lived with, I'm not gonna bring her up, but she was always late to things. Let's just say that. And it's just like, it was hard because it's just like, that's not my personality. It was very hard for me to deal with that sometimes. And I was just like, we have just very different lifestyles in that sense. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm married to somebody who is half hour late is on time.
Gotcha.
But we have to, we deal with that.
Do you
that.
Drive separately?
Yes.
Yeah. That's good. A lot of times. That's funny. That's cool. But I mean, you kind of like, that's the thing about like partnerships is like, you have to like, is that a deal breaker? No. You know? No. So it's like, I think you have to figure that out.
It's a compromise.
It's a compromise. Yeah. And it's like, there's certain things like my parents, my dad is like pretty introverted. My mom's extroverted. So like, he doesn't like do as much stuff as her. So she goes out on her own.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, there's like a lot of things where it's like, you just have to decide if that's worth it or not, you know?
Yeah. And I see a lot of married couples that way where like one is like, okay, she's the one that goes out and I stay here and work on house projects.
Yeah. And I think you just have to like figure out what you want, you know?
Yeah. Or you don't have to figure it out because sometimes it just happens and you're like, oh, I didn't know I wanted this.
Oh, that's true. Well, and that's the thing that like, the thing I've learned about life is like, you don't know what you like until you either have it or you don't have it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think like certain things will trigger you or certain things will, like you just learn as you grow and age.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I've learned about myself is I've learned what I like, I just didn't know when I was younger because I had never experienced certain things.
Right. Exactly.
So I think even as like a business owner or as a human,
yeah,
like there's certain things about like I don't like when people talk negatively about other people. That is a big pet peeve of mine. And so I try not to be friends with people like that. And so that is something I've learned. But at the time when I was younger, it's like, I'll be friends with anyone who will accept me. But then it's like, now I feel like I have more options in terms of like, who do I want to spend my time with? I want to spend my time with people that uplift me versus people that are tearing me down.
Yeah.
Or like talking about my back.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they are, but like, you know, you can kind of get a sense. If you see people talking about other people behind their, like they're talking to you about other people, it's like, they're probably talking about me.
That's what I always think. I'm like, when I see that, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like I feel personally offended because I'm like, now what are you going to say about me?
Exactly. Yeah. So then I go, like, sometimes I'll, like, walk places and I'll, like, hear people as I pass by me. And they're, like, talking about people. And I'm like, that's so weird. Like, I know that they, like, but to me, like, venting is just not something you should do with, like, a friend. Like, you should do that with a therapist or do that with, like, your family member.
Yeah.
And not with, like, a acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because it just, you come across as really negative. You put out a negative energy when you complain about people.
Yeah.
Some of it, just put it in your journal. I don't know.
I know. Yeah, I can see
that. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I was just like, my goal this year is like, I don't want to talk about anyone negatively.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
Like,
I feel like it might be really hard to do for a lot of people, though.
Because
venting and just life can be hard.
I think some people, that's like all they've done. So it's hard to change like their personality. But I think it can be done. You just have to.
Absolutely.
But I think it will like take a lot of mental energy and mindset shifting to like, catch yourself when you're doing that, like gossiping or like, I don't know. Cause you sometimes things just come out of you and you don't notice. For example, I'm trying to work on my speech patterns. I say like, and a lot. So I have to edit my own videos and cut them out. So I know that I do this. And
it's funny being a podcaster because you listen back to yourself and I hear me tripping over words constantly. And it's really serious,
Yeah, and I've been doing this for a long time. I still do it. So,
check yourself,
So it's unconscious, and I think once you point it out, or maybe every episode I have to go, okay, really think about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And really try not to, if you have to pause, just stop talking, you know, collect your thoughts. Because I've listened to a few podcasts where the person will just stop for 30 seconds. And then start talking again because it's just they have to think about what they're going to say. I'm not that way. But I find that interesting. And the person, other person just lets them sit there. I think it was with Elon Musk and it was or something. And they just sat there and he formulated his answer and then he responded. And I thought that was really interesting.
Interesting. Well, yeah, do you ever do beauty pageants or know anyone? Okay. So I never have.
I knew of people who did them, but I've never done them myself.
Growing up, I had a friend who dragged me along with her beauty pageant stuff. And they always trained her to pause before any answer. So I always wonder if that's like a thing that people are trained to do, to really take time on your answer, think about it, and then put it out
there. Well, there's such a thing in Hollywood called media training. Which is for like actresses that are doing press junkets and stuff, you have mm-hmm. to say things a certain way or you can't talk about certain things. You have to learn how to change the narrative or change the direction of the question. So
yeah.
That's interesting to me because I don't think I'd remember any of it. Mm. Like, you know, they'd teach it to me and then I would forget it in the moment. So that would be hard for me to go through that.
Yeah. That's a lot. I know. Being famous, I would never want that.
No, I think I want to be known, but like in my niche. Like I don't need to be like world famous. Does that make sense? Like a Taylor yeah. Swift. Like I would not yeah. want to be a Taylor Swift.
No. Because seriously though, like that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, even like having an audience, sometimes I think about that, like people do pay attention to what I say mm-hmm. sometimes, or they tell me they do. So mm-hmm. then I get a little self-conscious of, you know, what am I saying? Yeah. You know, there is a responsibility that even though it's not that many people, it's yeah. some people do really follow you, what you say. And it's just, okay, I have to make sure that what I'm living is authentic to what I believe. And
because you're putting it out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, but I have a lot of thoughts and opinions about, I don't think influencers have to be like talking about everything in the world, because it's like if they're people are pressuring them to talk about something that they don't know anything about, I think that is like a bad thing.
I do too, you know, and
I think that we've seen this a lot more in the last couple of years, whether it's about COVID or stuff happening in the Middle East. Like people are like, what is your thoughts on this? And yeah. a lot of them are like, I don't know. Like, I don't, like, it's not something that, like, my content is about cooking, you know? Yeah. So it's just, like, I think it's, like, hard when, and there was some controversy about this lately, and I've been following it because it's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, why are we looking up to influencers when we should be talking to our lawmakers instead? We should right. be pressuring like, them.
Pressure
versus,
the right yes, people. Exactly. And, yeah, and the influencers, yeah, why give them that much power exactly. when they're influencing you, again, yeah. like on baking or cooking?
And they're just normal people that just built an audience. And that's just my opinion. I feel like there's two sides to it. And I just feel like for me, it's like I grew my audience to teach people about business.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to pressure anyone into believing something at all.
Yeah.
Like I don't talk about politics. I don't talk about religion because I think that those are very divisive. And I would rather be a unity person and trying to like help people. Like we're already divided enough. Why?
Exactly.
I don't need to be pressing a specific thing. And some people just like, they're like, you have to do that. And I'm
you
like,
have
no,
to
you don't.
Find a side because exactly. we want to know if we
yes,
can like you
exactly.
or not, because they've been brainwashed
yes,
because that's what
yes.
they think that we need.
Yes. And I think like and that's why like for me, I think what I'm doing with like Twin Cities Collective is like, I just want us to find common ground versus mm. things that are gonna be like, oh, when you find out about that person, I can never be friends with them. It's like,
yeah.
what? I have friends, like I'll have friends on both sides of the political spectrum. I have friends on both sides of the religious spectrum.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the only way to live, because it's like if you only go one side, you're gonna be in a bubble where you won't understand the other side. And
yeah.
I think for me, I'm very neutral on a lot of things because it's like I see both sides. I get why both sides are a certain way.
Yeah.
And I try to like, and that's just me. I just try not to like go so far on one direction, because
yeah.
it's just like there are gray areas to everything.
I like my buffet of options.
Yes.
I don't really
exactly.
I don't believe that only
yes well it's like, yeah, you can like pick and choose even like issues too. It's like,
yeah,
maybe I feel more strong about this issue than this issue. I don't know, this is going kind of off topic, but like I just like, it is something I think about a lot as someone who creates content, is like, what is the responsibility of me? And I'm just like, I want to just bring light to the world,
right?
Like I want to just provide a positive influence. And I don't, sometimes when you talk about certain things, it just brings up more controversy and chaos, and it's
yeah.
just like, it's better for me to just stay in my lane, is kind of what I've realized.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So some people don't want to hear that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
It's hard when like people pressure you, or like when there's voices, like listening to your audience is mm-hmm. Because it's like you want the feedback, but you also like have to stick with your own like gut, you know?
Yeah. Do you, because you do have such a big online presence, mm-hmm. do you get any like uncomfortable comments mm-hmm. like that are negative?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, I had a whole series last year where I got this really hateful email.
Wow.
And I talked about it.
Okay.
Like I posted it. I read the whole thing out loud.
Wow.
Because I was like, and then they sent it up. I think they sent a follow-up email too. And they were like, I wasn't being a hater, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's someone I know, because like it felt like it was very targeted at me specifically, because it just felt like like, I feel like it's someone I've met in my life.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a random online troll. It was like somebody like that I've like been either met or was friends with at some point.
Okay.
So I don't know who it is.
That's but so weird.
They sent it via a contact form on my website with a fake email. Okay. So it's like they really tried to disguise who it was.
Yeah.
And it was basically saying, like, I'm too full of myself and all I do is talk about myself. That was basically, like, the gist of it. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to build a personal brand. How else am I supposed to do that? They really didn't seem to understand, like, they just thought I was talking about myself too much. And I'm like, is that, like, a Minnesota thing that we're just supposed to be quiet and, like, not talk? Yeah. Like, it's just, it's like, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm going to be loud and I'm going to share what I want to share. And, like, everyone else seems to like it. I don't know why you're so stuck in the mud about it, but...
And why we think that our opinion on other people matters, or why we
should. Yeah, and the fact that they spent the time writing the email. Right. Like a super, it was a long email. Wow. It wasn't just like a couple of sentences, it was probably like 8 paragraphs.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, it was long. And I read the whole thing. I like typed it out, put it on my Facebook, and so many people commented, like, what? Like, this person is crazy. I don't know. They might be listening to this podcast. Who knows? But it's just like, it's just.
But that's a lot. Why hide behind a computer screen, too, if they felt that passion? Do you think that they could reach out and have a conversation with you? But
I mean, it's I think they come across like. I think what I did was I responded back to every single point and was like, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, but now I've realized I'm like engaging back is what they want.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I just stopped. So I think after the second email, I just said, please stop following me. Block me. I wrote that back. I just said, please do not like follow me anymore. If you don't like my content, why are you, why do you care?
Yeah. So you were, this was a back and forth.
It was, well, I sent them an email, but I also posted it publicly. So they saw it.
Yeah.
Because I talked about it. Mm-hmm. So I think the email was like a dummy email, so they probably didn't get the response. And so, but I responded to them via content on social. And then I was like, I don't want to do that again, if that ever happens again. Just because it's like, I don't want people to start now sending me hate, then like, I'll continue.
You know? Propelling it.
Yes. Like, So, but it was interesting. It was the first time I'd ever gotten something that like intense in terms of like an actual email.
Okay.
I've gotten a few comments being, but usually the comments are more like criticizing like the thing I'm saying about, like if I'm talking about something, they're usually not criticizing me. They're criticizing my opinion on the thing that I'm talking about, like on YouTube. People are like, oh, I don't even give an example, but like people, oh, so like I, like they're like, oh, you talk too fast, or like, you know, or like, or this was confusing. So it's just like, I'm trying to like make it as easy to understand as possible.
Can I just say something? You do talk fast and I really appreciate it. Because I have ADHD and my brain does not stop. And I'm like listening, I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'm here. I'm on your speed right now.
I listen to podcasts usually on 2x speed or 1.5 speed because people talk too slow.
Yes.
And so I talk at the rate that people usually like speed up to, but it's also because that's how fast my brain works. And so I have gotten that feedback. My grandma always told me that I talk too fast, but I think my grandma secretly had ADHD too.
Yeah.
Like that, like, I think it's again a genetic thing, but like, but she just, she still said I talk too fast.
I get criticized because I do it with close friends and, you know, my husband.
Yeah.
When they talk, I'm like, giving the hand, like, speed it up,
oh, get really? To the point. Like, oh, I've never done that.
That's just because I'm so close to them, where I'm like, you guys, okay, get to the point.
Yeah.
I'm not rude, but just, like, you know, like, my family and...
Yeah. I think I do, like, summarize people's... So I'll, like, see what point they're trying to get to, so I'll, like, not cut them off, but I'll be like, oh, so you mean this? And then that kind of gets them to move on. That's, like, a hack I've done, is just, like, I get, like, they're taking a really, really long time to get to the point of what they're trying to say. But I do that, too, I'm sure. But it's just, like, I can kind of predict what people are going to ask, like, as a question. Yeah. So then I, like, kind of... But that's the other thing, is there's two types of communication styles, and I learned this. I'll teach this to all the people listening to this podcast. There's anecdotal, and there's question-based conversations. So ADHDers tend to talk more with stories. So I say a story, you say a story. I say a story, you say a story. With normal people, it's I tell a story, the person asks follow-up questions about the story. And so even as a podcaster, like, I've had to learn to ask questions, because usually I respond with a story to a story.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, people think that's rude because they feel like you're talking about yourself, but what I am trying to do is relating back to my life what you just said. And so I watched a TikTok about that once, and it changed my life, because I was like, oh, that's why people thought I was rude growing up, was because I would answer stories with the stories, not realizing I was doing that, and I didn't ask enough follow-up questions. So as a podcaster, I've learned to ask follow-up questions. Just like, oh, I haven't asked them a question in a while. I need to ask a question.
Oh, interesting.
So that's like a thing that like people don't know about. And so that I started talking about that. And so I have told my friends this, my friends who are not ADHDers on the neurodivergent spectrum. And so there's this one friend of mine where when I start to ask him questions, he like praises me. He's like, oh, Jenny, you're asking questions. Good job. Like, not in a condescending way, but he's just like, it's like, I think he remembers that about me, that that's something that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And so it's like he notices when I try to ask the follow-up questions, because before I would just be responding with a story.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So that is just an interesting thing.
I love
it. It's like until you realize it and noticed it, you're like, oh, that is how I communicate.
Interesting.
I tell a story back, or I relate it to me in some way. But that's how I felt like my whole life was how I was supposed to communicate, when that's not what normal people do. So,
yeah, well, normal, I
normal,
guess.
Neurotypical is what they call it. Okay. So there's neurodivergent and there's neurotypical. So that's how I could, and people fall on a spectrum too. So there's like people super neurodivergent where like even like noises and sound, like on the autism spectrum, where they really struggle to communicate. And then there's people who have like very like minor ADHD. So it's like, I feel like that's kind of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then neurotypical is people that just don't have any of those. They just have very normal brain, right side, you know, thinking, normal brain, whatever.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. I've learned a lot about ADHD because I do a lot of content on it.
Yeah.
And I've read books and all these things, and it's just, I find these little things that I'm like, oh, why aren't more people talking about that?
Yeah.
Because I think that explains a lot of things to me.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. I'm learning a lot more, too, because I have ADHD, and so I do things very... I think I frustrate myself life. Yeah. So learning about this and the fact that there's more information out is so refreshing and it can help me kind of redirect. But I'm still learning, what you were saying.
And there's more and more research being done, especially because more and more women are being diagnosed. There's a lot more. I think during the pandemic was a lot of changes in how we view it, because it used to be little boys.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, it's adult women, you know, too. Yeah. So it's just like, I think there's a lot of books coming out in the last even 4 years.
Okay.
Like there's one called How to ADHD, which just came out like a couple months ago.
Cool.
But she's one of the biggest ADHD YouTubers, and she came out with a book, and it's written in a way that helps ADHDers. It's short paragraphs, you know, it's kind of more like bullets, like it's easier to read. Because, like, I love reading, and that's always been, like, something I've been obsessed with my whole life. And some people can't read as ADHDers because it's too much focus. For me, I can, like, hyper-focus when I read.
Yeah.
So there's different things that, like, and I can't, like, I don't like video games. Like, there's certain things where it's just, like, there's certain things where I get, like, either overstimulated or understimulated at all times. That's another thing I've realized. I'm either constantly overstimulated or constantly understimulated. Finding a baseline of stimulation is very hard for me.
Interesting.
I don't know if you feel the same.
Well, yeah. I'm either hyper-focused or not interested at all, and it's hard for me. I have to, like, play tricks, like, even just doing my taxes. Mm-hmm. I have to, like, make what's the reward, what's your reward, like, or, like, try to find something fun about it that I can hyper-focus on so that it goes and I just do it.
Yeah, I've learned I work better, actually, with punishment than reward, which sounds weird. But, like, if you don't do this, you're going to lose this, that motivates me more than, like, you're going to get this thing if you finish it.
Yeah.
So, because it's almost like the fear tactics versus reward tactics.
Yeah.
Like, work better for me because I'm just, like, I don't want to lose that thing.
Yeah.
I almost have a fear mentality of loss more than I have desire to gain, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, totally. I just hate living in fear so much. So I'm like,
I do too, but that's just my constant.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm
like,
I have anxiety as well. So it's just, I don't know a life without fear.
Sure.
But I also think fear is an interesting concept because I've done a lot of things I've been afraid of and still somehow done them. Like, every event I do, I get scared. Because I'm like, no one's going to show up. Like, everything's going to go wrong.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I have a lot of fears. Like, I'm just thinking of events. Yeah. Like, the day of all
it's
my
the
fears.
Worst. It's the worst.
It's the day of the event is the worst
it
day
is the
ever.
Worst. Yeah.
And And I realized that, like, the days that I go into events where I don't have any fear, mm-hmm. like, which is rare.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It falls apart.
Really?
I mean, not totally, but in ways that, like, I feel like I need that.
You need the fear
to keep the energy going.
Yes, I agree. I think, and that's another reason why I don't want to do events anymore, is because I'm like, I'm constantly in that fear state.
I think that's normal. Like, when you do events, because you're just putting so much together, like, the day of, it's like, and then every little fire comes to you.
I don't like that. And that's the thing, is, like, I get too overwhelmed with the little things, and I would rather have more peace in terms of, like, things that I know I can control, in that sense, where it's, like, some of those things you can't control.
Right.
And I think control, I actually had a conversation about control the other day with somebody, and it was really interesting, because it's, I said something, and it was about, like, the best thing you can do is to learn to be open to the chaos of life.
Yeah.
That was, like, the thing I said, and she's like, that was so profound. Write it down. And I was like, okay. So I did, and, like, I think what I've learned is that everything is not going to go to plan.
Yeah.
And so that's the plan, is that nothing's going to go to plan. So being open to, like, either positive or negative things that are going to be thrown at you. Like, you just, like, when COVID hit, I, like, kind of, like, wasn't that thrown by it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, this is, like, something that's happening. Just got to accept it and, like, run with it, you know?
Yeah.
Some people just, like, it, like, froze them. They were stuck because they're like, oh, my gosh, like, I wasn't expecting this. And, like, now, we like, really, my life can't move on.
Yeah, we really got to know people for the real stuff. Like, people that I thought were super punk rock became, like, really big babies. Do you know what
Well, yeah, it, like, showed who you truly are, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it stripped back your normal.
Yeah.
And I think that it, like, either showed a positive or a negative side of you, or maybe you didn't know in yourself, too. Like, the structure was gone, so now you're like, what do I do with myself?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, and it's interesting how I think that, like, you look at how you react during COVID, and mm-hmm. I think that really tells a lot about maybe where you are in your life, your mental state, like what you should work on.
I mean, I read so much, because it's like, what else do I do with my time? You know, so it's like, everyone all of a sudden has this free time. How do you use it? Mm-hmm. And how are you with structure? Because I think I've always struggled with, like, I like being an entrepreneur, but the lack of structures are hard for me.
Yeah.
I was already working from home, so not that much changed for me in terms of, like, my day-to-day.
Yeah.
And then I obviously had to cancel all my events. I just moved them virtually. So I just felt like it was easy. I didn't have, like, a physical location to deal with. I didn't have employees. So it was just kind of like, I'm just moving everything online. And so it was maybe easier for me than other people, because I didn't have to change a lot.
So did you still made money during the pandemic? You kept your workshops.
So what happened was, so I started doing them online, but then what happened was I got a ton of clients that year, because everyone was freaking out, because they're like, oh, my business, like, all the things I used to do weren't working. Help me, Jenna. So I became more of that, like, marketing consultant coach that year. That was, like, that was my thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I used to do that a lot more, and I'm trying to get back to that as well, where people just, like, they're like, come to me with your business problems, I'll solve them. That's kind of, like, one of the things I'm mostly about marketing. But it's just, like, that became, like, my bread and butter for, like, 2020, 2021. And then events came back, so I started doing those again. And then the whole YouTube thing started during 2021, and I started growing that and selling courses and all that stuff. So that I've just constantly, like, followed whatever's popular right now and like what's working. I just follow that.
Cool.
It might not last forever, but it's like, that's working right now.
Yeah.
I don't really have, like, a long-term game plan for anything. It's more of just, like, following the vibes of the world.
Yeah.
And, like, what I'm interested in as of now. Like, I used to be a stock photographer in, like, 2015.
Did that work?
It did for, like, 2 years, because it was really hot then. But now, if I tried to do it now, you'd make no money, because Canva has every stock photo you'd ever need.
I've never really made money doing that as a photographer. Like, I just never found a way to do it.
I never thought I was going to go into it. I just had a really nice camera that I use for video. And so I just was like, I started it by taking my own photos. I was, like, basically, it was called a styled stock photographer. So it was where I would take photos of things in my house and sell them on Etsy. I'm not kidding. I sold pictures of things in my house. And I made thousands of dollars doing this, because people wanted them for, like, their banners on their websites, or, like, for their Instagram, or, it, like, I took pictures of a computer.
You must have a nice, clean house.
Well, it was like one room in my house. I like turned it into like a studio. Okay. So it was like, it was bright. So what I did, this goes down the rabbit hole. I bought like these like backdrops, like these tables from IKEA. Yeah. I would like take pictures of things. I'd have to buy a ton of props because I didn't have much.
Yeah.
So then I went to like Michael's. Like I was spending so much money on stuff.
Oh, wow.
Which then once I stopped doing that, I have now gotten rid of a lot of it because it's like, it's just cluttering up my house. So oh, now what I've decided is I'm never going to start a business where I need a lot of inventory.
Yeah.
Because I changed my mind too much. So that's why I like selling my templates and my courses online. It's like selling air because you don't have to buy any physical items. It's just selling
knowledge.
Like a knowledge or like a template or something that's digital.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, okay, that is easier for me. I don't have to go out and spend a bunch of money to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
So I think during that time, I was in the wave of it. So it's again, like it was a fad, honestly, yeah. But I capitalized on the fad while it happened, learned a lot from that. And now I'm doing something else because I'm now in another fad of the software that I teach. And so it's like, okay, that's popular right now. It might not be popular in 5 years.
Yeah.
But like, I'm going to capitalize it while I can. Yeah. And I think that's actually a big lesson to business owners is like, if something's hot, like go for it.
Yeah.
It may not last forever, but like you'll learn from it. You'll get some money.
Yeah.
And then move on to the next thing.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Some things are not a fad. Like if you're in banking or if you're in like, I don't know, accounting. Like, those are things that are going to last forever. But in the entrepreneur world,
yeah,
AI right now is a big thing, right? Ugh. You know, so it's like people are jumping on that because it's a thing. Like, a couple years ago, it was crypto. Like, people will jump on things because it's popular, but it's not going to last forever. And that's, like, going into that, knowing that. Like, I'm going to build this thing, and then I'm going to move on. And that's how I've always been about business is, like, figure out what's hot right now.
Yeah.
Get as much as you, like, it's like, soak as much as you can out of it, and then move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as people follow you. Like, I think that's the other thing is, like, I'm building a personal brand where I kind of have, like, a red thread of, like, the things I talk about, like, marketing, video. Now it's, like, ADHD, productivity. Like, that's always, like, the constant. But, like, whatever it is around that can change and evolve.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's an important thing is, like, be known for, like, generally something.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be, like, I'm right now, like, Notion is the thing that I'm, like, known for. But, like, I wasn't known for that 5 years ago, and I may not be known for that in 5 years.
How do you keep up with your education? Do you do, you said you read a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you do your own workshops with other people?
I would say, like, most of it is books, sometimes YouTube videos or, like, TikToks or experimenting myself. I think that's the biggest thing is, like, I learn by trying things and seeing what works and what doesn't, because it's, like, people can in theory know things, but until they try, like, for example, you doing events, you're not going to know how to host events by reading a book.
Right.
You're going to do it by trial and error, by testing things out, experimenting.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book right now called Million Dollar Weekend by Noah Kagan. And it's basically like the whole point of the book is like, just try it. Like, just go out and like attempt things.
Yeah.
And like experiment. That's what like starting a business is. And like, you'll figure out like based off of like feedback. Like, if it's even worth pursuing. Like, you can't just, like, people spend way too much time in theory and in planning.
Yeah.
Planning is, like, a really hard word for me because it's, like, I am based more on instinct and on impulse than on a plan.
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, like, for me, like, in theory, planning is good. Like, I just meal prepped for the first time this week. Like, I've never done that.
It's so hard.
It is hard.
To get yourself to do that.
Yeah, and then that's, like, oh, like, what if I get sick of that food? Or, you know, so it's just, like, for me, it's, like, planning is so hard.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I think I, like, generally have an idea of, like, what I want, but it's, like, I can never be, like, down to the T. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm not that person who plans my year out.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why, like, when I launched my membership last year, it didn't work. Because I'm like, I don't like to plan a year out. Like, that's just not me. So I've learned that about myself is just, like, me, even, like, a week out is, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And I think as a business owner, you kind of do generally have to have a general idea, but, like, you don't have to have it, like, down to the specifics. And so for me, one of my goals this year is to just kind of have a general plan-ish thing, but like, what does that look like? So there's a book, a really good book called The 12-Week Year. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Mm-mm.
It's like instead of planning your year out, you plan 12 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So that's 3 months.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a really good book because it breaks it down like why, because at the end of the year is when you like start to like get like excited again because it's the new year.
Yeah.
If you do that 4 times a year,
oh,
versus like just spending all your whole year over 12 months.
Yeah.
I think that is so I taught that in a workshop that I did for my Notion template and stuff. So it's like, if I learn something, then I teach it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want other people to know it too.
Yeah.
It's a very popular book, so I highly recommend it.
Okay. That's okay. That's awesome.
I love reading. I love reading so much.
Reading things that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So like I read a lot of business books.
Yeah, me too.
And like a lot of...
What are your favorites?
Well, over here, I'm almost done with The Power Focus. I really like that.
Okay.
You're a Badass at Making Money.
I've read that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I've...
Jen Sincero.
Yeah, I'm almost done with that. Yeah, so...
That book is really good. I really like that one.
Yeah.
I have a list. I read a book last year that I recommend. It's called The Bug in Our Brain.
Mm-hmm.
I found it. I'm on Kindle Unlimited. I don't know if you use that at all. So it's like 10, 12 bucks a month. But you get like a bunch of like free Kindle books if you pay. So it's like a Netflix but for Amazon.
Okay.
So I pay that because I'm like then I get like all these books. So it's like because then you can just download a bunch of them because I read like multiple books at the same time. I'll go back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
So I like my Kindle is on my iPad. I have a whole system.
That's so many books. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
I have
13 books checked out from the library right now.
I love it.
Yeah, but then I never. Sometimes I don't finish them. So it's like I have intentions to read them. I have a bunch of books I've bought and that I've never read. But like I do finish books. Like yeah. I read 30. Last year I think I read 40 the year before.
Oh wow.
So I but lately it's been hard because I've been watching a lot more YouTube, so I need to get back to books. But I think so The Bug in Our Brain, I loved it because it was talking about self-worth.
Okay.
And one thing I realized, I had a big aha reading that book, was like, oh, I have really low self-worth.
Yeah.
I have high self-confidence, low self-worth, which are not the same thing. So I learned that I needed to work on my self-worth. It's basically, what are you without your accomplishments?
Yeah.
And I felt like I wasn't anything without my accomplishments. And so it's like, who am I as a person? So I love the book so much. I reached out to the author on LinkedIn and then he came on my podcast.
Ah!
Back when I was doing interviews.
That's
so
cool.
So that was really cool. That was awesome. And I just really clicked with him because I was like, I really liked his book. And it wasn't like a popular book or anything. So I think he was kind of like surprised that I even found it.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
But like it was on Amazon Kindle Unlimited and I just like read it when I really needed it and it really impacted me. And so that was really fun.
Oh, cool.
So that was like a cool way to get to talk to him.
I want
to
hear that podcast
too. Yeah, I can send it to you. It was really good. Like that, like there's certain people where like there's another guy that I interview on my podcast who I found on TikTok.
Okay.
And I liked him so much in our like podcast that I hired him to help me because he talks about multi-potentialites, which is basically people that have many different passions and like how to like deal with that. And like, I think that those two episodes are probably two of my favorite ones I've ever recorded.
Cool.
Just because I really liked the person and I really liked the stuff we talked about because it was like I had found it really helpful for myself. And so being able to ask the questions I would have asked a coach like that was like really helpful to listen to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know. Having podcasts too, you can kind of learn more.
Yes. Well, that's why I think I loved having a podcast was I met so many cool people through it. And I was able to ask the questions I would ask a coach. So it's like, I feel like I learned so much from that. So when you ask like how I learn from other people too, you know, by talking to people. And the questions that I ask them are questions I actually want to know the answers to.
When are you going to write a book?
Oh, it's on my list. I literally had this conversation about 2 weeks ago where I was like, I have it mapped out. I know exactly all the chapters. It's just I hate writing. Like, I hate sitting down and writing. Yeah. So she's like, why don't you, like, dictate it? Because I'm, like, really good at talking. And I thought that was a good idea. So I might do that at some point.
You can have someone write it for you.
Yeah, or help me prompt me to like get to the like, okay, what, you know, or like ask the right questions to get the right answers. I have thought about it because if I want to do more public speaking, it's easier to have a book because then people like buy the book. And,
absolutely.
Like, I work for someone who wrote a book and I was working for her the entire time she was writing the book. So I could see how hard it was to write a book. And that's another thing that's kind of scaring me is like just how, but she had a lot of interviews that she did for the book. I don't know if I would do as many interviews or anything, but like her book just took a really long time and it was a lot of work to get done. So for me, it's like, I want to write a book. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But I'm not a writer and it's something that there's a lot of learning. There's a lot of, I think once you write a book, it's easier to write your second and your third and your fourth. But I think the first one, it's like that mountaintop that you just have to get to. But I feel like I have a lot to say.
Yeah, I feel like you do too.
And I already know the title and everything. Yeah. Like I really, and it's going to be called The Optimization Toolbox, which is the name of my podcast. And like that has become like, I don't know if it'll continue to be the name of my podcast, but like that to me is like a great name that I want to have affiliated with me.
Yeah.
Because it's all about optimizing your life and the tools that you need to do that. So the toolbox. So I found a lot of cool hacks and things. So basically my book would be about all the things that I have felt have helped me as an ADHD or as a business owner and like sharing that with people. That's really what I want to put it like in one book.
Very cool.
That would be my book.
That's awesome. So,
but we'll see. We'll see. I know it takes a long time. I have a few friends who are authors and I'm just like, man, that sounds like so much work.
You know Brittany as a podcast host extraordinaire. Did you know she doubles as a gifted photographer? For weddings, businesses, headshots, portraits? Don't settle for a cell phone photo. Call a pro. For any of your photo needs, it's Brittany Photography. Everyone has a story. What's yours? You know Brittany as a podcast host extraordinaire. Did you know she doubles as a gifted photographer? For weddings, businesses, headshots, portraits? Don't settle for a cell phone photo. Call a pro. For any of your photo needs, it's Brittany Photography. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
But I think it would be fun. It's just like I have to get to a point in my life. Like I actually auditioned a couple years ago to do a TED talk, like a TEDx talk.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
But I just was, it was too early for it. I didn't have a good topic. Like, you know, this is before the pandemic. And so I got through, I think, the first rounds of auditions. And then I got to, like, the actual, like, pitch where you, it's like Shark Tank. You go up and you stand in front of a room of, like, 6-7 judges. And you have to, like, basically audition with your topic to get to the next round of the TED Talk. And I didn't make it through that round. And I'm like...
And what was your topic?
I don't even remember. It was like not... That's what I'm saying. It's like, I really wanted to do a TEDx talk, but like, I didn't have a good idea.
Yeah. Like, so, well, I'm sure you have a lot of ideas, but which one do you want to talk about?
And then I think it basically was like talking about why it's important to have like a local audience versus a global audience. I think that was like... that at the time, that's like a huge part of my life was like, oh, like everyone's like go global, but I'm like, what the importance of a local community?
Yeah,
but I'm
like creating roots.
But it just didn't like that wasn't a TED Talk worthy topic. I felt like, and so I read the book like Talk Like TED. I know a few TEDx talkers, but it's just like I want to do that again at some point. It's like again on my bucket list. Once I feel like I get a good topic, I feel like it would be a good one to do.
Yeah,
at some point you go through a lot of training for that. You have a coach, because it's very specific.
Do they assign it to you?
Yeah, so they only select, because there's one in Minneapolis. There used to be there was like an Edina one. I think there's only one. I looked at
this
the other
day. Yeah, I saw that TED Talk Edina.
I think, but like I looked on the TEDx website and I didn't see Edina anymore. So I'm like, was that like a one-time thing? I don't know. But there is a Minneapolis one and it's once a year too. So it's like a full year of prep for it. Like it's a lot, it's a very intensive experience.
Do you have to be in Minneapolis to be a part of the Minneapolis TED Talk?
I think, you have to be in the Twin Cities or you have to be able to I think you have to like live in generally that area. Like you don't have to live in the city. Like I live in the suburbs. But I think for...
But you couldn't live in Ohio.
I don't think so. I think, and that's the thing is like, you have to find, I think there's one probably like in Fargo and that's like the only one in like North Dakota, I'm sure. So it's like it's usually generally like larger metropolitan cities is where they have like hubs for where you can do it. And then, so there's a difference between the actual TED Talk and then there's a TEDx. So TEDx are all around the country.
Okay.
And then the TED, I just learned this, like the TED Talk is like tens of thousands of dollars to go to the actual real TED Talk because it's like TED itself is putting it on versus all of these are offshoots. So
so there's three kinds of like tier. Like, so it's TEDx or no.
Okay. TEDx are like the offshoots that are in every city where it's a smaller event.
Oh, okay.
And it's usually like less than $100 to go and be in the audience.
Okay.
And then the real TED conference, which is like the main one, that one is super expensive to go to because it's like the best of the best speakers in the world.
Oh my God. So do you go to the TEDx and then you get, to be able to,
you know what? No, I don't think so. Well, I think you could do a different talk, but they film them all. So they like, so some of the TEDx talks can be really good and they know that. So then they put it on the main TED YouTube channel. If it's like a really, really good local TEDx talk, but not every talk is like guaranteed to be placed on like the bigger audience. Okay. It's usually like they'll go through and they'll watch it. They'll see like what the reactions of the people are. This is what I think is how it works.
Yeah.
So it's almost like getting a bunch of submissions to like a newspaper and like picking the best ones and like highlighting those.
Oh, okay.
So like my friend Jen, she did a TEDx talk last year about alcohol.
Yeah, I know Jen. Yeah. She's going to be on my podcast next week. Yeah.
So talk to her about her TEDx talk.
I will.
But she is a friend of mine. And so I kind of watched her through social media, like getting ready for that talk. And that was, I think, last year. And so, you know, I think it got published on the TEDx YouTube channel, not the main TED channel, which you have to get to a certain point in terms of like views of the smaller video.
Oh, interesting.
I think, I don't know. Again, I don't know how it's almost like curated. It's a curated thing, because usually the main TED channel has a lot more followers and subscribers on YouTube. Okay. So you're going to probably get more views. Mm-hmm. So I think, but even just getting a TEDx talk is a huge deal. Because they don't select that many people. You have, it's like a competition to get in, you know? So I think you have to have a really good topic. You have to be a somewhat good speaker. And for me, my hardest thing is I'm really bad at memorizing as an ADHDer.
Yeah.
So you have to memorize your whole thing because it's like 10 minutes and you have to like have, but you practice it so many times. And I'm better at like kind of, my working memory is poor, but like my long-term memory is good because I like know what I'm saying. I might say it differently each time, but like I know kind of generally that what I'm literally know what I'm teaching.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a unique situation. But so TED Talk, book, both on my to-do, like future things, but I don't, again, both of them are very time consuming and very much like a commitment that I'm like, I just don't feel ready yet. But I think at some point I will. And
absolutely.
I'm only 32.
So I know, you're 32. You do have time. Look at that. Like, look at all the things that you've done at 32. I feel like at that age, some people are like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Let me restart over. Yeah.
I think that's, but being an entrepreneur, every day you're like, what am I doing? Like that, I think that I don't talk about that enough is like, I feel like there's certain things I'm killing it at and there's other things in my life that I'm just like not doing well.
Yeah.
And I think we only share the good sides. So I think one of the things that I think people do like is I do sometimes share the hard things because it's like, I think not everything's good, right?
You do? You share some hard stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Like on, like where do you share that?
Well,
like,
sometimes I post it on TikTok because my audience on TikTok is like strangers.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes it's like, or I'll do it on like private stories. Sometimes I do it on private stories where I only select certain
friends
people or like people that like I trust. But I do post it on my main stories too, which is a public thing.
Okay.
But I'll like, I mean, we've talked about this dating. Like that's one of my struggles. So it's like that one. And then like I have really bad acne. That's like one that I talk about sometimes.
I'm looking at right now. Your beautiful skin.
No, but right now my skin's great. You don't want to look at my chest and my back. But like, so there's certain things, body confidence. Like I went through a weight loss journey last year and now it's like, it's kind of going back up and now I'm kind of back on the track. So it's just like, there's a lot of, you know, whether that's anxiety or my ADHD, like sometimes I share the hard parts of that because it's like I try to make it uplifting in terms of what ADHD is to me. But I also think that there are a lot of hard sides that I don't talk about that a lot of ADHDers deal with that we hide or we are embarrassed to talk about. I think, another one is I don't get nervous about talking about this because I think it's an important thing. And that's like the menstrual cycle.
Oh, yeah.
I did a whole video series on my YouTube channel about it because I think it's fascinating.
I learned about my own menstrual cycle in my 30s on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah, it's just like stuff like that where it's like, it's stuff that like people are like, oh, I can't believe you're talking about that. I'm like, why? It's the most normal thing in the world for a person to have. Why are we not talking about it? We're making it seem taboo.
Well, I know. And it's crazy how things are taboo. And again, like things like you don't learn in like a doctor's or in a school, and you learn from TikTok from other people sharing information.
I've learned so much from TikTok, and that's one thing that I love about it. And I'm kind of hoping it stays around because it's like,
I know.
That's
But can we get the smart stuff? Can we Can we have like what China has? Like,
yeah.
They're really more like learning.
Oh, like the STEM or whatever. Like they really focus on like education.
Yeah, I want more education. Yeah,
I think it's really who you follow though too.
Oh.
Because it's like your algorithm is based off of what you like.
No, what does that say about
but,
me?
No, there's actually like now like a STEM section on TikTok. Have you seen that? I don't know if you have it on yours.
No,
but like,
I don't know. I don't look enough at it. I just found out I can go live and I'm like, what do I do with this?
I've thought about going live. I don't like it because I don't like, usually there's not that many people watching it live, so it's like kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
And also I love to edit, so like I like to edit the things because sometimes going like, I think I'd be fine at going live. I just don't know if I don't know. I've tried it before. It's just not my thing.
I like, sometimes I like to scroll live, people who are
live. There's some really weird stuff.
That's, I know, and I'm just fascinated. I'm looking at their homes, I'm looking inside their house, and I'm like, this is, I can't stop.
Yeah.
I'm so curious.
There's a guy yesterday I was scrolling, he just was singing, but like almost like a Michael Bublé type style.
Oh.
So it was like, oh, this guy's actually pretty good.
I know, like, I love hearing the musicians too. Like, oh, it's fun to hear what people are doing.
Or like, there was like one person was like, judging you based off of your profile photo. So it's like if you like commented on the post that he could see the profile photo, and then he would like, that was like the whole live was people were just commenting. It was
people,
weird.
With people that do that, people love it. They eat that up. I've seen I'm going to put your name in this song.
Waste of time. Yeah, I don't know. I would rather watch YouTube at that point than a live TikTok.
Absolutely.
Like I have my favorite YouTube channel right now. I'm obsessed with it. Is Smosh. I don't know if you know what Smosh is.
No.
Okay. It's the best channel on the internet.
You teach me so many things about about the world.
I've been too obsessed lately. It's all I do is watch this channel. And I've been watching it for years, so it's not like anything. It's like your husband's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
He'd like it. It's kind of like these funny people that do game, they play like board games, or they do this thing called Try Not to Laugh, where they try to make each other laugh. They put like water in their mouth, but it's like sketches.
Oh.
So it's like comedy. It's almost like SNL, but on YouTube.
Cool.
It's really good. And then there's like a podcast, but like it's all the same people. So it's kind of like this cast of people, and they're playing themselves. Like they're being themselves versus, and sometimes they'll play like a character, but like I've been obsessed with them for like a year now.
Interesting.
And I just like every day, they're like my comfort YouTube channel. And so it's out of California.
California. Okay. Because I feel like I've seen a group of improv people based out of like New York City that kind of do something like that.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. There's one called Dropout TV, which is like another one. There's a couple. I mean, I used to be really into like BuzzFeed and the Try Guys and like all that. So like I've been a YouTube fan for a really, really long time. I know everything about YouTube. That's like another like topic that I know a lot about. And that's why I wanted to start my channel, because I like love YouTube so much. So I just hit 10K.
And you don't even have a channel?
No, I do.
No, you do. Oh. That's what I was going to say.
No, I do. I just hit 10,000 subscribers.
That's what I saw. You in the balloons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was from my party when I hit 10K on Instagram in 2018. So I just reused those photos. But
I
did that was for when I hit 10K on Instagram on Twin Cities Collective. But that was an actual party. We had a 10K party.
I was like, why didn't I get an invite?
Yeah, no, that would have been
like,
so
I don't
fun.
Even care. Like, I want to go. I want an invite.
Yeah, it was in 2018.
I will come.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, is like, I'm not doing events anymore. But like, I think for me, I've learned like, I think like certain milestones of numbers are good, but I think that sometimes people spend too much time on trying to grow to a certain number.
Yeah.
Like versus like, okay, well, what about the audience you already have? You know, I have 10,000 followers. My next goal is 100,000, but it's like, but I still have to work with those 10,000.
Right.
Like I still need to make content for them. Mm-hmm. And not every video is a hit. And that's, this is my biggest piece of advice. It's my favorite quote, and I say it all the time. It's called "Life is a numbers game." So basically, as a person in life, you have to attempt things, right? You mm-hmm. you try things, and what I've learned is the more things you try, the more likely you're going to get a hit. Like in baseball, like you're going to strike out a lot, but something's going to be a home run. Something's going to be a first base.
Yeah.
Like the more that you swing and try, you're going to eventually get there and you're going to find something that works. But if the people that don't try and don't try anything, they're going to get nothing. So it's like, that's why I say life is a numbers game. Like you have to put yourself out there more.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I've been successful, is because I try so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, for every video on my YouTube channel that gets 200 views, there'll be one every 10 videos that gets 10,000. So it's like, you never know what's going to happen because of the algorithms, because of what connects with people. Like, there's a lot of videos that have done really well on my YouTube channel that I wish I had done differently, because I wish I would have known they would have done so well, because there's probably things I said or opinions I had that I'm like, those are now being seen by tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to go into it being like, this could go viral. Make sure what you're saying is what you want to say. And that's hard.
Yeah.
But I think personally, like, the more you try, the more likely you're going to succeed. Like, look at Taylor Swift. Look at how many songs she's written. Like, she's just, like, the more you put out there, the more people are going to love it. Like, I just think, like, you get better, too, over time.
Well, yeah. And I also think that if you're doing it for the right reasons, mm-hmm. and if you have, like, a true connection to something that you're doing, or a true, I hate saying the word passion, but a true passion.
It's true. No, it's true.
But it is. If you have, you just are doing what you love, things tend to fall into place, and you do it with, you know, all your heart. Mm-hmm. You keep going, you know.
And I think that your passions, you find them, mm-hmm. too. Like, you don't always know that you have a passion or something until you try something, right?
Yeah.
Like, you probably didn't know that you would like to do podcast. You know, like, that's just something you tried, and you're like, oh, it's fun, you know, or something. Like, there's certain things where it's like, oh, I like that. Like, I didn't know I did.
You start doing things that you, like, mm-hmm. little voices mm-hmm. in, like, your head are like, oh, you should try this. Yeah. And then you go for it. And sometimes it's like, yeah, that wasn't for me. But mm-hmm. a lot of times you're like, it turns into something else.
Yeah.
Somebody once said too, I think it was, like, Jim Carrey, but it was like, it's like you decide what you want to do. And then make the moves towards it, and the universe kind of takes over. And you have control. Like, you don't know if, like, you know, you're going to meet the love of your life tonight, but you're going to go do these things, or, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think that the more you put yourself out there in anything, like, for example, I went to so many networking events, of course I'm going to make friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm going to, like, but if you don't go to any, you're not going to. So it's just like, it's kind of like the law of cause and effect. It's like, if you try this thing, something's going to come of it. Maybe you don't find your best friend. Like, for example, we met at Break the Bubble.
Yeah.
I've been to so many of those now. I think I've been to 6 or 7. It's like, I don't meet every, like, a new person every time.
There's one tonight.
Oh, there is?
I think so.
I have to get ready for my workshop tomorrow. But, like, I know. But, like, I just, like, I have been going to so many of those because it's like, you never know who you're going to meet at them.
Right.
And it's just like, maybe you go and you don't really make any new friends, but it's like, hey, you tried and you had that experience. You didn't sit at home by yourself for 2 hours. Like, you actually tried. You attempted.
Exactly. Exactly.
And enough people do that.
It's hard. I mean, it is hard to get up and do anything. Your brain is going to be the biggest obstacle sometimes. Because, like for me, sometimes mm-hmm. I don't want to get up and go out. I don't want to go to a networking group.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. But it's well, I make my own money, so I have to. I have to get up.
Yeah.
I have to do this.
That's something that I was at this mastermind on Sunday, and they're like, "You have to show up every day. Or even if you don't want to, like, it's more of like a consistency thing for yourself to be like, hey, like, I'm just gonna show up. It may not do well. That's okay.
Yeah,
I'm proving to myself that I'm like, for example, my one of my new things right now is I'm hitting 10,000 steps a day.
Oh yeah,
I've been doing it for over a week now.
Cool.
And the way that I found I can do it is I do it first thing in the morning to get it done with.
Yeah.
So I, like, wake up, I eat breakfast, and then I walk for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
On my treadmill. And cool. So I'm done by the time my day starts. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And then I go take a shower because I'm super sweaty and gross. So it's just like, and so I'm, like, ready to go by 9. So it's like, I think for me, I having that, and so now I can look at my phone, and because I track my steps on my phone with my Apple Watch. So, like, I'm like, I have to hit 10,000 steps. Like, it's now like a compulsion of, like, I have to keep the thread going, or I'll be really disappointed in myself.
So if it's at, like, 11 o'clock at night, will you just get up and, like, go do it? Yeah.
But I try not to do that, because that's what I used to do. Because I did this before, maybe like 3 years ago. I did the 10,000 steps a day for like 2 months, and then I got away from it. And I'm like, I want to really stick with it this time.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the easiest workout you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, like, really does help you get in shape. It helps your mind. Like, walking is just so good for you. And so it's like, and now, and I didn't have a treadmill then, and now I do.
Yeah.
Because I would just walk around my house, which was, like, not fun.
Yeah.
Because you, like, bump into things and stuff.
No, I think I have a treadmill in my basement, actually. That's super helpful. And then, I know, and then you don't have to have a gym membership. You don't have to do all these.
I have a Planet Fitness membership right now, and I've been wanting to cancel it for like 6 months, and I haven't. So I'm maybe today I'll stop by on the way home. You know, it's just like, it's just like getting the, because it's 10 bucks a month, so it's not that expensive, but it's like, but I'm spending 10 bucks a month and I'm not using it. So it's like, I need to finally just cut the cord and be like, hey, I need to leave. Because it's like, I also, I go to like the Plymouth Community Center sometimes and I walk in there, and I go to a lot of different places. Now it's like I actually am building a gym at my home because I had a roommate for a while and now she's gone. So her bedroom has now turned into my gym.
Cool.
Because I'm like, I have like a trampoline, a little mini one. And I've got like my little stepper. So I'm just like, and then I put my TV in there. So it's I can watch TV if I'm on my treadmill. So it's just like, I just think to me, health is important, and I've been working on my health for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's just, that is a journey in of itself, because it's like a daily reminder that you have to make good choices with your food and
absolutely
like everything that you do impacts your health.
Yeah,
literally, it's a choice. There's a reason that people gain weight, there's a reason people lose weight. Like, it's just every little thing that you choose impacts the way that your body reacts.
Absolutely.
And we don't talk about that enough. It's like, it's up to you. Some things, sure, if you have like a medical condition that you can't change, but most people don't. Most people get medical conditions because they're not taking care of their body.
Yeah, you know? I know. I hear, and it's hard to hear people that you care about say stuff like certain things like, oh, I'm on this medication because my, you know, this is irregular. And it's like, well, why are you on medication? Yes. Don't you think your hormones are out of balance? Yeah. You should start looking at what you're eating or something.
So, I mean, this is a really controversial topic, but I was on birth control for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
For acne.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking
about. But then I read a book. I read a book and I'm like, they're like, this is really bad for you. You're not getting your period every month. Like, it's a fake period and your body feels like it's pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not good for me. I need to get off this right now. So I quit it. And it's been now almost 2 years that I've been off birth control. And for the first time ever, I'm like feeling my own hormones, which has been interesting.
It's scary,
it is. But like my acne came back worse, which is what I'm dealing with now. But it's like, I think a lot of it is like figuring out, okay, so my next step is I'm going to be doing some hormone testing.
Yeah.
See, like, am I elevated in my estrogen or my testosterone, like, is there something out of whack? Because it's like, that's what's causing the acne. There's a root cause.
I really, as a woman, I don't know much about like men hormones, but as a woman, in knowing a lot of women, a lot of our issues stem from the food that we're eating and our hormones being out of balance, which is causing the acne, which is causing endometriosis, inflammation.
Yes. It's like, I'm so passionate about this, and it's because I didn't know. And we're not taught this. And I think social media is how I've learned a lot of this. And I think that's why it's powerful.
Yeah.
And I follow now a lot of people in the health industry, like people that talk, like, for example, I'm really into fasting.
Yeah.
So like, I started following Mindy Peltz, who in my opinion is the best fasting expert. And she wrote a book called Fast Like a Girl, because fasting books are all written for men.
Yeah.
Women, you shouldn't fast the week of your period. Like, there's a lot of rules that like your body needs nutrients to like shed its lining, which is what the period, you know, that's what menstruation is, but like, you shouldn't fast that week because that's not good for you. So it's like, when do you fast? How, like, there's a lot of rules in the book that make sense because it's based off of your hormone cycles. It's based off of women's bodies, not men's bodies. Like intermittent fasting doesn't work as well for women because of the way that our body's hormones work. So it's like, just learning that stuff has been very helpful and eye-opening. And I'm like, I wish these books were written 50 years ago. They've been written in the last 2 years.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
There's another one that I really liked called Biohack Like a Woman. I'm really into biohacking. That's like a huge thing for me. So that's like saunas and fasting and just like different things like with your lymphatic system. There's just like, I read a book about the lymphatic system because I was fascinated.
Start reading a little bit about it too. I'm fascinated.
Like gua sha, all that stuff, like draining your lymph nodes and stuff, like that really helps like get rid of
toxins
and like I'm really into I just got IV hydration for the first time. So like they put an IV in you because we're all dehydrated. So I don't drink alcohol either. I know you don't as well. So it's just like, that's another thing where it's like people, that's killing us. It's literally like people get into drunk accidents. There's a lot of people die of alcoholism. Like it's
I don't know why alcohol is so socially acceptable.
I agree.
It's like ridiculous. But
for me, I never drank it. I started in high school and was like, I don't want to drink that.
Yeah.
So I just never did.
Yeah. That's amazing. I know a few people like that. That was not me, but,
So when people are like, so I went to that Sauna and Sobriety event, which is great. I love that meetup because it's just, it's cool people. And
I can't wait to go to one.
Yeah, there's one this weekend on Saturday.
Is it this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on the 13th.
Oh, I'm going to be
there. Yeah, and so the thing, like somebody asked me, they're like, where, they literally asked me this question, where are you in your recovery journey? And I said, I'm not because I've never drank.
It's weird
because it's like I don't drink alcohol, so I consider myself sober, but I'm like, but I'm not sober from something.
but it's so weird that we all think that it's either you drink or you're recovering.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's so socially acceptable, but it's one of the most toxic things in our environment.
I get very passionate about, there's no positives to it. No. And I know some people are like, oh, it's fun. Excuse me. Yeah. I'm drinking the NA beer right now or whatever. but like, I think that there is more negatives than positives. So why would you bring that into your life? That's just my, it's not good for your liver. It's not good for, like, there's nothing good about it. And I think people use it as a social lubricant too. And I'm like, then work on your social skills. Like there's a lot of things you can do that are good for your body. So I think,
and there's a lot of medicinal things to help with anxiety, to help
CBD. I'm like
things.
Totally into CBD because I'm like,
me too. I just got into it
because it doesn't super work on me, but I'm like, I'm totally up for when other people do it because I'm like, that's cool. Like it's, I think that helps
people. It puts
people.
Me to sleep.
Yeah. And like, I know dogs use it now and there's just, I think like there are better tools that are good for you that are not alcohol.
Right.
So I think that is something I talk about a little bit too on my social. I mentioned that I don't drink because it's like you find people that are similar. Mm-hmm. Or like, for example, I went on my brother's, now wife's, bachelorette trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one not drinking except for a pregnant girl.
Oh my gosh. Everyone
was drinking. So it was just like, it was kind of hard because it's like, I'm not really a clubber. So it was just like, there was times where I was like, I was the sober one at the club. Like, it's just, it's just, and I'm okay with being around alcohol because it's like, I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I just choose not to drink.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just doesn't make it as fun though, too, because it's just like, I see a bunch of people acting drunk and I'm like, this isn't fun.
Because it's like dealing with a bunch of like out of control. Yeah.
That didn't really happen on this trip, but like if I were to do that locally or something, like if I were to go clubbing with, like, none of my friends are really into like clubbing, but like I've gone to like dance parties and stuff, and my friends are really into like swing dancing. Like that's like my friends. Like they're more into like a little more of that stuff.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, my roommate was really into like bachata, like specific types of dancing.
Oh, cool.
So like there's a lot of that in the Twin Cities too, where it's like, it's like actual dancing.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people don't know about it, but I just, and that to me, I think those are mostly sober events too. Like I don't think they sell alcohol at any of those, because that could get kind of weird. And I don't know, I just think that there's a lot of like sober options for people, you know.
Yeah. I love that. I love the sober options. And the thing is like, I love beer, but I don't love to
Yeah.
So that's why I always have like this NA beer. Beers.
Yeah,
because
you get the taste.
Yeah.
That's why I love Liquid Death. Have you heard about Liquid Death?
Yeah. I don't really
know.
It's
just water.
It's just water. Bubbly? No.
No,
just water.
I think they do have flavored now, and I think they do have bubbly. I mean, I don't really even like flavored stuff that much, but I like it because it makes it look like a beer.
Oh, yeah.
But like,
it does.
But they... So
water in a can.
Yeah, and it's just like, why didn't anyone think of this before? Because it's like, you can still feel like you're like... have a glass in your hand without actually having it to be like alcohol. And I think that's really what people feel awkward about, is like holding something.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, if they sell Liquid Death at an event, like you just get that. And then it just makes you feel like people think it's a beer, you know, unless they know what Liquid Death is, which even if they do, then that is cool. Then you just, oh, you're drinking water or whatever. I don't know. I feel like for me, I don't feel awkward. Like, and some people do, they're like, oh, like, I'm the only one not drinking. And I'm like, just who cares? Who cares what people think?
I know. It's really hard to get, like, I'm really excited because I feel like we're really, as a society, pushing it away, pushing it out of our lives. And I can feel the shift happening. And slowly, but pretty soon, I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, they just drank all the time. Like, we just drank as a society. But, like... it's just, I don't know why we
It's going to take some time. I don't think it'll be overnight.
No.
But I think you're right. There are more options now. Mm-hmm. And I think culturally we're understanding the negative effects, like biologically.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to Andrew Huberman or know anything about him. He's like a really big podcaster, but he had this one episode about alcohol that changed a lot of people to stop drinking alcohol.
Was it like the science of it?
Yeah, it was like the science of it. It was like a 2-3 hour episode.
I have heard of that one.
But I like, and he, you know, he's had some controversy lately, but like that episode specifically was super helpful to a lot of people because it's like there's always been things being like, oh, like a glass of wine is like okay, but like now people track their sleep and they see what a glass of wine at night will do to their body just from tracking, like, and they're realizing, oh, if I drink a glass of wine at night, that really, really disrupts my sleep and all this stuff. And so they're seeing it with data, like legitimately what the impact is. And I think before we didn't have these options to track our heart rate and our sleep and all that stuff. And I think now people are realizing there's cause and effect. Another thing that I'm really into is glucose.
Yep.
So I read the book Glucose Revolution, and she started using a glucose monitor to see how different foods would spike her insulin levels. That was a fascinating book because I'm like, oh, the order in which food you eat impacts your blood sugar and all these things. Wow. And I'm like, I didn't know any of this. So like, that's not taught in school. And I'm like, why don't we know about this? So it's just like, there's a lot of science and things that are coming out that like are going to help people.
Yeah.
But you have to actually try and attempt to follow what these people are saying.
Right.
I'm not used to drinking like pop. It's kind of common sense, honestly, some of it. It's just like, they're basically like, start every meal with like a veggie or a fiber and then end it with carbs.
Oh, okay.
So like, and put meat in the middle. So that's why people start meals with salads, because it's, you know, like that, like it should go in that order, and desserts are last because that's a carby, sugary thing. So it's like the order in which you eat. So like, instead of when you go to a restaurant and you start with bread, don't do that.
Oh.
Like, end with bread.
Okay.
So, like, there's all these, like, rules that, like, because if you start, like, for example, if you eat pasta by itself, let's say you have a bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah.
It's going to spike your blood sugar a ton. And then that can impact your weight and stuff. If you start with, like, a salad first and then eat a bowl of pasta, it won't spike as much.
Oh.
So, like, there's, read the book Glucose Revolution. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And then also, like, start every meal with, like, a shot of apple cider vinegar, because that helps, like not spike it as well. There's, like, all these rules, but they're, like, easy to follow.
Yeah.
And, like, so I've started kind of following some of those.
Do you take a shot of apple cider vinegar before you eat?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, for breakfast and stuff. But I mix it with water. So it's not, like, a straight, but it isn't a shot glass, but, like, it is so good for you, apple cider vinegar. I know. It's not the best, but another thing you can do is you can mix it into a smoothie.
Oh, okay.
So, or, like, I've gotten really into salads, which I never ate salads my entire life until last year. And now I have one almost every day.
I love salad,
and I use balsamic vinaigrette for, like, my, like, sauce or whatever, like, sauce, my dressing.
Yeah.
And, like, that's good for you. Like vinegar. Like, putting something with vinegar in, like, the first thing you eat is really good.
Yeah.
So it's like, they basically are like, try to have vinegar every day is kind of one of the rules. So, gosh, I can go down this rabbit hole of health because I like know so much about it. There's this thing called the Daily Dozen.
Yeah.
Where it's like, these are 12 things you should have every day. And some of it, like one of it is like turmeric. Like, there's all these different like things that like you should be eating, like veggies. Like, there's just, it's a list.
Oh, cool.
And one of it is like nuts. Like, you should eat more nuts. So I bought a bunch of Brazil nuts. I try to eat a Brazil nut a day.
Okay.
So it's just like little things like that where it's just like you can add things into your palate versus subtracting things, which I think you should also subtract some, like, you know, desserts and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's like I wasn't even open to trying new things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. I'm like fascinated by food health. I love it. Like, I love making like whole food meals I hate processed foods.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I love processed foods, but I know they're not good for me.
Yeah.
So that's actually my vice more than like alcohol is like food.
Oh, for
sure. Like, I think, so one of my biggest hacks, and it doesn't work for everyone, is I weigh myself every day at the same time, because then I can see what the impact of the previous day's meals were to my weight. And that is how I lost weight. Was because I was like thinking about it more. Because what would happen is it would be unconscious. I would just be snacking and not seeing my weight go up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's slow. But then once I started weighing myself every day, I would make better choices. And then that I lost like 30 pounds in 6 months. So
yeah, I've done that once. Yeah. It's hard to keep up with. And also it's hard mentally when you see it not going down. And then
so that's what I'm saying. It's not for everyone. Like if you have an eating disorder or you like,
I wouldn't recommend it.
But for me, it worked because because I know that like it was my own decisions and it wasn't like it was up to me. And so it's like I would just get mad at myself, not at my body. It's like, it's like, oh, that was my decision.
Well, and you're very like for those analytical brains and stuff, it's really good to just see the results and see what's happening and kind of do like a graph and data. Like, you know.
And for me, like there's days where I'm like, wait, but I thought I did better yesterday. So why am I going up? So then I like question like what was it? Because also other things that can impact it is like sleep. So if you don't get enough sleep, that can actually impact your hormones, which will impact your weight. So it's not even a food thing. It's just your hormones are up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different factors to like losing weight. But like now that I'm doing this 10,000 steps a day, it's like, okay, I'm burning more calories. That should start to put me on a calorie deficit. And so if I have less food, like the weight is going to come off. Yeah. It's just science. It's just straight up math if you think about it.
Yeah.
And that's how people lose weight. So that's why I'm always, I don't really want to go down the like rabbit hole of like there's a lot more like drugs now that you can get for weight loss, and I'm just like, you're skipping the steps. Like you really need to just work on your eating and your fitness and you'll lose weight. It's just making those decisions that people just are like, I just want to skip all the steps and just get a shot and they'll lose weight. And I'm like, yeah, it's not the best for you.
I know, skip the steps
because you're like, because then it will bounce back. It'll be like a yo-yo thing.
Yeah, if you stop can't using skip it, those you know? Steps.
It's just like, and then you're healthier, like with your cardio, with your.
I know it's all about just getting good habits, and then you over time you don't even have to think about it, you know. But if being patient,
I think it's more of the daily commitment to it. Like I don't know if you know this, but ADHDers cannot build habits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I read this once where it's like, if you miss a couple days, it'll just be gone. Like that habit that you've been building for like 2 years.
That makes
a
lot of sense for me.
Yeah. So basically, habits just don't exist in ADHD. Like for the rest of the world, they can. Like you can put them on autopilot. But like for ADHDers, we constantly are thinking about the habit. Like everything that we do, we have to think, oh, I have to do that. So every action that I take, I have to mentally be like, I'm doing this now. I'm doing this now. I'm doing this now. So that never becomes subconscious.
Okay. So that's why like I was doing really good going to the gym every day and then I stopped doing it. I missed a day and then I stopped doing it.
That's exactly it. So it's like,
Jesus.
Yeah. So that was a wake up call to me being like, I could try to build a habit, but it's more of just the daily reminder or the daily like commitment to do it that is the only option. I'm not building a habit. I'm literally making a conscious decision every day to do it. That's all I'm doing.
That's so exhausting.
It is exhausting. And that's why I think people struggle is because
it's
a mental choice that every day I have to wake up and be like, okay, now I'm going to walk. Like, it's just, but during the pandemic, it was like my time that I could like get outside because we were stuck at home and I could walk by myself. And so it became like a escape for the first time. It wasn't a chore. It was like I enjoyed walking because I'm like, I can listen to a podcast.
I learned how to enjoy running during that time. And I never ran before.
I'm not a runner, but like I trained for a 5K 1 year.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but it was hard. And so I never got into it because, again, I didn't like it. But like for me, what I've learned is I like walking. So then I'm more inclined to do it because I like it.
Yeah.
And I think we have to find hacks to get us to like the things that we don't like. Like, for example, with salads, I learned to like it. It was just an acquired taste. And now it's like, oh, I know what I'm having for lunch every day because I have a salad every day. And then that actually makes me happy because I don't have to make a decision about what I'm eating.
Yeah.
So it's like you're kind of, and then it makes me feel good because I'm like, I'm making a good choice of what I'm eating for lunch that's going to help my body. So then I feel like proud of myself. So it's like these little, and that's what my book I want to be about. So all the things I've been talking about right now, this is what I want to put in my book.
I love it. Because
it's just like little hacks that are like helpful to know. You should read Biohack Like a Woman. You'd really like it.
Biohack Like a Woman.
Yeah, it just came out a couple months ago. It's one of the best books I've ever read on like women's health because it's a bunch of different topics. And I think, I was reading it and I got kind of angry because I'm like, this is the book I wish I had written. Like, I was like, everything she was saying, I agreed with. And I was like, this, like, I'm so happy that this is out there because I think a lot of women need it.
Yeah.
And it was just really well, like I just really was like everything she was saying. I was like, yeah, this is right.
Cool.
Which doesn't always happen in books. Sometimes you disagree with the author.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, like you're like, oh, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that's true.
But I feel like this book, because especially like in biohacking, which was, again, started by men, mm-hmm. it was made for men and now women are trying to do it too and it wasn't working the same. So now we have to work with our own bodies. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's true. I love this, though, that we're, like, breaking out of this shell that we always thought that everything was paid. Like, the roads were paved for us by men, but...
Yeah. I think we... Well, now, I don't know if you saw this. I think, like, the Bidens just signed this into law that they're going to do more women's studies about health. Because yeah. women were under, like, studied.
Yeah.
As a, like, they would just study men and apply it to women. And they, yeah. there wasn't enough studies about women's health. And so now they're signing that into law that they're going to be, like, forcing people to do more women's studies, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
I'm really excited because it's like, our bodies work different.
Yeah, they do.
They're very different. And, like, everything that we thought worked for men doesn't work for women. And yeah. it's just like, and I think women are waking up to this fact and are like, we need to figure out how to do it for us. It's a different science. It's a different result.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. That's so exciting. Yeah. Well, I know. Oh my gosh. Time has flown.
I know. I was like, oh crap. I was like, I don't know how long you wanted to record
for. I didn't look, but no, this is a perfect time. That's why. Okay. I always ask for luck because I feel like sitting down, we can really get good mm-hmm. conversation going.
Yeah.
So.
And cut out whatever you need.
I probably won't cut anything. I love it all.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Jenna. It was so fun. Yeah. I hope your other two podcasts go well this week.
Yes, I'm excited. I think both of them are on Zoom, so it'll be a little bit different, but I'm excited to be in person.
Oh, so what's your favorite food?
I mean, I was going to say spaghetti. That was like my first thought. Yeah, probably spaghetti. It's always been my favorite.
Yum.
I love pasta.
Spaghetti and meatballs?
Yeah.
Do you make your own?
I do, but, like, I'm trying not to eat as much because it does, like, you know.
You just have to have a salad first.
True, which I do. But my, you know, so my favorite place to get spaghetti in the Twin Cities is at actually Pizza Luce. So their spaghetti is so good. Like, a lot of people always order the pizza, but their spaghetti is amazing. And their meatballs are really good. They're huge. And, like, just the flavor is, like, every time I go to Pizza Luce, I get spaghetti. It's amazing.
Now you're going to make me want to go to get that tonight.
It's so good.
They have a Pizza Luce down the street. Oh, yeah.
I love Pizza Luce. And we go there because my brother's gluten-free, too, so they've got gluten-free options. So.
Do you ever, are you Italian?
No.
Okay. So, I am
very Scandinavian.
Yeah.
So.
I married an Italian man and so mm-hmm. he's like, he doesn't like, spaghetti squash.
Oh,
because
interesting.
Because
it's not real spaghetti.
No, it's not real spaghetti. So we have to call it a squash dish.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So do you like spaghetti squash?
I think I've had it before. That's the thing is I'm not a great chef or cook and I'm trying to get better at it. But I have found recipes with spaghetti squash that I need to get into because that's probably healthier than spaghetti.
Yeah. Well, I think some people do the spaghetti instead of like spaghetti meatballs, they do spaghetti squash and meatballs.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know. I like it because I like.
I feel like I tried it. Well, that's like another thing is I learned I hate cauliflower pizza crust.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
It just like, I got it at Trader Joe's one time and I was like, oh, this is so gross.
Ah.
And I'm a big Trader Joe's girl because I live right by the Trader Joe's.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I can walk there from my house. So I go there all the time. So it's just like, I've tried a bunch of things there too.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was the one I was like, nope, cauliflower pizza. Nope, not for me.
It's like flaky, right? It's like really.
No, well, it's just like, it's like really like the crust is like wet and like weird. Like
oh,
just
ew.
Like the taste weird. Like I just didn't like it.
I wonder
it.
If it's just that one because I've had
maybe.
Some that I like that. I don't know. I've never
know.
Had Trader Joe's.
The Trader Joe's one I just didn't. And maybe it's just because I just didn't know what it was supposed to taste like. But I tried to be healthier. So I tried to get the cauliflower one. And I was like, I could barely finish it. And it just wasn't for me. So I'm also a picky eater. So I'm trying to get better.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I'm trying. Okay. Yeah, I don't like to cook. And I'm a picky eater. So that's another reason why I had, I think, a lot of weight issues. Is because I would just throw mac and cheese in the microwave or whatever.
Sure.
Like that was my what I like to eat and that was what I knew how to make. And now I've been really challenging myself to like learn how to cook and then also try new things. So that has been basically pandemic project since 2020. It was
cool.
The first time I bought an air fryer, I bought an Instant Pot. I've started buying like knives to cut things. Like, oh, I just cool. like for the first time, I feel like I'm like 18 and
I love cooking. Yeah.
It's something that my brother's really into it. So that's the other thing is like my brother loves cooking and his wife loves cooking. So it's like, I ask him for advice all the time.
I feel like once you get in it, like once you just start like learning stuff, you're just like make your own food. You get to like put the ingredients that you like, you know, that's the fun part.
I definitely have learned that there's things that I like that I didn't know I liked.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's, I just am trying to be more open as a person, which I was very closed off from trying new foods because I just assumed I didn't like them.
Yeah.
And like the one I need to get good at now is sushi. I've tried it a little bit, but
what?
I know, but it's just like, I know I probably would like it, but it's just like, it's something that still kind of freaks me out because it's just like, in my head, I'm like it's not something I like, but I'm like, but it's like fish in general is one that I just don't eat.
Okay.
So it's like, but I think sushi of all the fish would be the one I'd probably like
a Scandinavian that doesn't eat fish?
Well, I guess lutefisk is also disgusting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And my dad doesn't even eat lutefisk.
Well, I have a Norwegian cousin who lives in Norway, and I think he thinks lutefisk is disgusting. Well,
apparently lutefisk is a very American Scandinavian thing because it was, like, all they had back in the 1800s to eat.
Yeah.
And now, like, people in Norway have actual food, and they're like, why would you eat lutefisk? And we're just like, that's what our ancestors ate.
Yeah, because, over here.
Yeah, exactly. And my parents didn't even eat pizza until they were in high school because that's just like, you know, wasn't a thing that like there was no pizza restaurants and like their family didn't grow up eating pizza. So it's just like there's because it was like Scandinavian, you know, they like had what they ate. I don't even know what that was, but it's just now we can eat whatever culture, Asian, Mexican.
We can eat all the cultures.
We can eat all the cultures, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like we like the restaurants didn't exist.
Yeah.
Like now we're finally getting even just other Asian restaurants in town that like we like didn't like Vietnamese and all these different like Cambodian and all these different countries that Indian food even like Indian food is not that big here, but it's slowly becoming big. It's probably bigger on the coast, but like it's just like 30 years ago there was no Indian restaurants, you know. So it's just like there's like we're slowly realizing people, and now people are foodies, so they love going to all these places. So it's like I think that is actually a huge thing that I feel like I missed because I wasn't open to trying new things. So now I'm like trying to be more open to, it's just a slow process for
me. What's your favorite thing that you tried?
Like in the last couple of years?
Yeah, like recently that you're like, oh, I had no idea I would have loved this.
Gosh, I'm just trying to think. One thing I like is like samosas. Have you ever had samosas?
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the freezer section. I can get them at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
But it's just like, they're kind of like a, they're like this sort of triangle shape, you just throw them in the air fryer.
Yeah,
I just love my air fryer. I'm obsessed with my air fryer.
I make it when you're really selling it. You gotta get an air fryer. Yeah,
like it. I use it more than my microwave.
Ooh,
like it's become my microwave. Like I'll make chicken in there. I make a pizza in there using a tortilla, and it's a lot more healthy than getting a regular
frozen
pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes 5 minutes to make.
God, like you just put the dough.
So I do an actual tortilla, like a flour tortilla. Okay. I get the low carb one from Aldi. I put pizza sauce, some mozzarella, and then I do this. It's like a spicy Cuban seasoning from a Trader Joe's, and I put that on. It takes me 2 minutes to make. I put it in for 5 minutes, and it's like a pizza, and it tastes like pizza.
Yum.
But it's healthy because it's a tortilla crust, which it gets hard, so it feels like a crust. It's amazing. It's my favorite thing to make in the air fryer.
That sounds amazing.
Helped me lose weight because it's so low calorie.
Yeah.
But yet you're eating pizza.
Yeah.
It's not like probably healthy, but it's not like you're eating a full pizza,
yeah.
You know, which I used to just do a half a pizza in the oven,
yeah,
for like lunch or something. And I'm like, that's so many calories. I'm like looking back at that,
yeah.
So it's like I could still make it taste like pizza. It's got the cheese. It's got the
You
could add pepperoni. You could add whatever. But I just do cheese and like that's it.
Oh my gosh, so, I love it. That sounds amazing.
I need to put that in my book too. It's like my easy recipes.
Your food
I want to do like an ADHD cooking episode on my YouTube channel because I'm like, there's so many people that
can I tell you what I do for ADHD cooking?
Yeah, tell me.
A rice maker with a steaming rack. That's it. I have kimchi in the fridge. I put my rice in the water. I push it, and then it's done in what, half
hour?
See, kimchi
is something I need to learn how to eat too.
Yeah, it's done in a half hour, and I have Brussels sprouts up top, and I mix it in.
Sounds
and
very
it's
healthy.
Oh my god, it's amazing, and all I do is put water and rice and cut something.
Do you use an Instant Pot?
No, I just use a rice maker.
Because it's, I mean, that you can do that in the Instant Pot too.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things a lot of people use the Instant Pot for. Rice? It's a pressure cooker. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's water.
Yeah.
That's what the pressure of the Instant Pot is. I bought an Instant Pot at the beginning of the pandemic. It took me a year to use it after I bought it because I was so nervous because it's like, it is a pressure cooker. But what I've learned is the air fryer is so much faster because you can open it while it's being, like when you have the Instant Pot on, you cannot open it and like check it.
It's like a chamber.
It's like a chamber and you have to like let the steam out for it to like decompress and stuff. So it's kind of scary to use a couple times and it just takes longer. It says it's instant. It's still 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But an air fryer actually is like 5 minutes. So it's just like, to me, I'm very impatient. So I'm like, okay, air fryer takes way less time and it cooks things like a grill or like something. Yeah. I know. I love like making... I do like frozen chicken that's for my salad. I put them in the air fryer for 6 minutes and they're done.
Oh my gosh.
And they come from frozen. And they're not super wet like you would in the microwave.
Yeah.
They're like fried.
Less time cooking for me is better.
Yeah, you definitely need an air fryer. And you can get them for like $70, like 50 to $70 now. Like they've been selling them for so many years that they've gone down in price.
Oh yeah.
And just like, they're kind of big. So like you have to find space for them on the counter. I know.
Our counters are really packed.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully I have a pretty nice sized kitchen, but like I was living with my parents during the pandemic for part of it. And like my mom hated the fact that I had an air fryer because it was just taking up space. So I had to take it out every day and put it away. Now it's just sitting on my counter at my house. So
now I can just live there.
And I'm just like, yes. But I do not have my Instant Pot out that is in storage because I don't use it enough. So that's one I wouldn't recommend in my mind. Like I bought it and I use it for a while. I probably should use it again and find some more recipes, but it's just now it's right now in storage because I'm just not using it enough.
And I just feel like my slow cooker is good enough.
Yeah,
like,
if that works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, yes. Jenna. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun.
Awesome.
All right.
Sweet. If you enjoyed this podcast, show your support and join our Patreon team. Go to excelsiorp.com.